Hello, and welcome to the Journey Church podcast. If you enjoy this podcast, we invite you to check out The Journey live at one of our three Manhattan locations, including The Village, the Upper West Side, and the Upper East Side. Visit journeynyc.com for service times and directions. Now let's join lead pastor Carrick Thomas as he teaches at The Journey.
Well, welcome once again to The Journey. I'm Carrick, and I'm excited that you're here today. We're kicking off this new series called Financial Fitness. And I know what you're probably wondering is, Carrick, what are you doing with this red heart-shaped balloon? But I promise I'm going to get to that in just a moment. I'll tell you why I have that in a moment. First, what I want you to do is look inside of your program and find your message notes that look like this. Find those, pull those out along with a pen so that you can take notes along the way. Now, listen, over the next 4 weeks, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be looking into God's Word, into the Bible, to explore the relationship between our financial health and our spiritual health so that together we can take steps to make sure that we're living our lives according to God's principles, not just spiritually, but financially as well. And listen, I think it's really important that we talk about this topic in church, because there's not another topic that causes as much stress and as much pressure on people in our church as this. I mean, the financial area is robbing many of you of peace, it's robbing many of your lives of happiness as well. And so, just as every year I'll go to the doctor for my annual physical checkup, I want us to think about this as sort of an annual spiritual financial checkup. And to see how we're doing with our finances, to see if we're living our lives in alignment with God's principles. Because here's the truth. Sometimes I go to the doctor, and he looks at me, he says, look, your blood pressure is good, your cholesterol is good, Carrick, you're doing pretty good. But then he says, hey, here are a few things that if you would make a few slight adjustments to your life, you would be doing even better. This would help you out a lot. And the truth is, some of you are like that. You're not under a whole lot of financial pressure right now. You're doing a pretty good job of living your life in accordance with God's financial principles that you find in the Bible. But there are a couple of things that you're going to pick up in this series, some slight adjustments that are going to help you do even better. They're going to align your life with God so that He can bless you even more in this area of your life. But then there's sometimes I go to the doctor and the report's not that good. When he says, look, Carrick, your blood pressure is really high. Your cholesterol is off. You know, you need to make some big adjustments in your diet and how you exercise, or you're going to run into some serious trouble down the road. And if we're completely honest, there's some of you who are in that position right now. As you look back over the first part of 2017, you look at your life and you're not as financially healthy as you'd like to be. You're not as financially fit as you know that you should be. You know, some of you are just coming back from the summer, which you did a lot of traveling, you did a lot of spending, you put a lot on the credit card, and now as you look over the next couple of months, you see how tight it's going to be, how uncomfortable it's going to be financially. For some of you, you're about to go back to school, and 9 months from now, you're going to be graduating, and you're looking at a student loan debt of over $50,000 that you're going to have to deal with. And now you're beginning to get stressed out because you're remembering that verse from Scripture that says the borrower is slave to the lender, and that's freaking you out a little bit. You know, some of you, you're thinking about things that you want to do. You're ready to start a family, or you're hoping that you can retire earlier. You want to finally go on a vacation this year. But the money doesn't line up. You're not going to be able to do any of that. And some of you are just struggling to make ends meet month to month, just to pay the rent, to pay the bills, to make ends meet. And you're under so much financial stress pressure every single month. In fact, most people in our city, most people in our church need this spiritual financial checkup. In fact, just look at some of these statistics that I was looking at earlier this week. This is from the U.S. Reserve 2017 statistics. Now, I want you to sort of see the direction that we're heading in our country. U.S. household debt has increased by 11% in just the last 10 years. I want you to understand, it's not that we're going in the right direction. We're getting more and more and more debt as we move forward. The average U.S. credit card debt, get this, is $16,425. That means the average American that's carrying credit card debt, it's over $16,000. And then you add on student loan debt. The average student loan debt is $50,868. And what makes this worse, as we go further into debt, we're saving even less. The average U.S. median savings is $5,200. Now, I want you to think about this. The average American that has student loan debt and credit card debt is close to $68,000 in debt and has only $5,000 in the bank. That's why this series is so timely and so important, because over the last 13 years, the cost of living has far outpaced income growth. You know, and you see this in New York City with the cost of apartments going up, the cost of insurance, health insurance going up, the cost of even food has gone up, while the wages have stayed about the same. And it's led to money becoming the number one source of pressure and stress and anxiety in our lives. And also, it's becoming the number one source of conflict in our marriages and in our relationships. And I know this because every week, our team, we read the prayer request that you write on the back of your connection card. And money is the top source of stress for people in our church. It's true. We're not as financially fit as we need to be. But the good news is, we can do something about it. We can get there. That's what this series is about. You see, in the Bible, God has given us some time-tested principles, financial principles, that if we will apply to our lives, if we'll be disciplined to living them out, they will help us get out of debt and stay out of debt. They will help us lower our stress. They will help us experience peace in our life. They'll bring God's blessing into our life. And they will help us get financially fit, whether those changes we need to make are small adjustments or whether they're really big adjustments because we're in trouble. But let me just say this as we begin this series. This is not a financial seminar. The reason we're talking about this in church is because money is far more than just a financial matter. Money is a heart issue. It's a spiritual issue. In fact, that's why I brought this balloon out, because Jesus says there's a direct connection between your heart and between your wallet, that the two are intimately connected, that there's a connection between your spiritual life and your financial life, between your spiritual health and your financial health. They're two are connected. And the Bible says that if you aren't healthy financially, then there's no way for you to be healthy spiritually as well. Look at what Jesus says. It's our first verse. We find it in Matthew 6:21. It's from the Sermon on the Mount. And this is what Jesus says about money. Let's read it together, beginning with wherever. Are you ready? Go. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Now, when we read this verse, honestly, most of the time we read it incorrectly. We don't read it that way. We read it, wherever our heart is, there our treasure will be. And we live our lives thinking that the things that I love, that's where my money will be invested. That where my heart goes, there my money will follow. But that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus said, isn't it? He didn't say, my heart is stronger than my money. No, he says, wherever your money goes, there your heart will follow along like a whipped puppy dog. Wherever your investment, wherever your treasure is, there your heart will go. In other words, Jesus says, your money is stronger than your will. And if you test it out, what's gonna win, my heart or my money? My money wins every single time. So Jesus says, listen, this is a big deal. Because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Money is that powerful. It will bend your will. Where your money goes, your heart follows. And that's why financial health is one of the keys to spiritual health. And that's why next week we're going to look at how to defeat the number one enemy of financial health. Do you know what the number one enemy of financial health and fitness is? It's materialism. It's a lack of contentment. It's not being content with the treasure that I already have. Why can't we be content with what God has already given us? We're going to talk about that and explore that disease next week. And then in a couple of weeks, it's actually the finale of the series, we're going to talk about how do you break out of the debt trap. And we're going to do something a little bit different. A lot of times people think about church and think, well, the church is all about getting. Well, we're going to give. We're going to put our money where our mouth is. And on that day, at every service, we're going to give away $500 to help pay down someone's debt. And you can apply for that, but we're serious about this because debt is such a crippling problem in our church and in our society. We want to help people begin to take that step to get out of debt. That's going to be in a couple of weeks. And by the way, if you'll grab your connection card that Pastor Bobby was talking about earlier, we're really serious about the debt thing. Pastor Chris Brady, one of our teaching pastors, our growth group pastor, on Tuesday night, September 19, at the Journey office, is going to be leading a debt-free seminar. And he's going to be talking about just specifically biblical principles to help get you out of debt. I'm sure nobody here is in debt, but just in case some of you might have a little bit of debt, you want to be at this seminar. It's going to give you some, it's going to help you draw out a game plan to get out of debt. So on the back of your connection card, it's that third next step. So if you want more information about that debt-free seminar, because we're really serious about this and helping you find financial freedom, check that box and he'll follow up with you this week. Now, that's where we're going. But to get there, first we have to lay the right scriptural foundation for financial fitness. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Because just like there are principles that help you get physically fit, like eating well and exercising and getting enough sleep, there are some biblical principles that you need to know if you want to be financially fit. So, because our goal is that you don't end up like this guy. Take a look.
This is a lot of credit card debt.
Yeah, tell me about it.
You know, Jan has my credit cards and she's using them as if I'm made of money. She thinks I'm a human ATM machine.
Okay, $125, Amazon.
Oh, Best of the Muppet Show on DVD, classic.
$1,200, what's a core blaster extreme?
That is by far the best way to strengthen your core. This machine, you sit on a stabilizer ball, you put your feet into the power stirrups, you reach up and you grab onto the super rod and you twist and you twist and you twist, it strengthens your entire core. Your back core, your arm core, the Marine Corps actually uses it. I think that's how they got core.
Okay, the green bar is what you spend every month on stuff you need, like a car and a house.
That's so cool, hey, I have my name at the top.
The red bar is what you spend on non-essentials, like magazines, entertainment,
right,
things like that. This scary black bar is what you spend on things that no one ever, ever needs, like multiple magic sets, professional bass fishing equipment.
How did you do this so fast? Is this PowerPoint?
So that's what we want to get away from. So back in your notes, to unwrap these foundational principles of financial health, we're going to look at a parable that Jesus told in the New Testament of the Bible called the Parable of the Three Servants. So I want to jump in and let's look at the first foundation to financial health. Here's number one. It's the principle of possession. And it says this, everything I have belongs to God. If I want to get financially fit, this is the first principle I have to understand. Everything I have belongs to God. Now, to illustrate this principle, Jesus tells a story of a businessman who leaves on a long trip. He knows he's going to be gone for a long time. So what is he going to do with his business? Who's going to take care of his wealth? And so he decides to put someone in charge of his business. And that's where we pick up the story, Matthew 25, verse 14. It says the kingdom of heaven, because again, Jesus is using this earthly example to point out how it's connected, how our treasure is connected to our heart, our spiritual life. He says, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. Now, hold here for a moment. Don't flip your notes just yet, because I want you to go back up one line from the bottom. Underline those two words, his money. His money. Just to be clear, whose money are we talking about here? It's the owner's money, right? It's not the servant's money. It's the owner's money that he's given the servants to take care of. And by the way, this principle is called stewardship. The servants were to manage the money that was left to them. It wasn't their money. Now, I don't want you to miss this. In God's eyes, you are a manager, not an owner. You're a manager, not an owner. You are a financial manager of the money or wealth that God has entrusted to you for a period of time. It belongs to God. He's the owner. It's not my money. It belongs to God. And I know for some of you, this is a big concept because you're like, Carrick, you do not know how hard I've worked for this money. This is my money. It's not God's money. It is mine. And we hold on to it so tightly. But I want you to think about this. Where did you get your health to work for your money? Where did you get your energy, your intelligence, your giftedness? You got that from God. Listen, everything that you have in this life is on loan to you from God for a period of time. The truth is, you didn't bring anything into the world with you. And when you leave, you don't get to take anything with you out of the world. God has loaned you everything that you have for a period of time. And when you die, he's going to take it back from you. And guess what? He's going to loan it to someone else. Nothing belongs to you. You're a manager. And why is this first foundation so important? Because once you realize that you don't own this, that God owns it, it completely revolutionizes your relationship with money. Because if you think that you own it all, then you think having enough money depends completely on you. And that adds a lot of pressure. When you think everything with your money, when you think it's mine, I've got to take responsibility for it, it adds stress, it robs you of happiness and joy and peace in your life because it's all up to you. But when you realize it belongs to God, you stop worrying so much about where it comes from or exactly how much you have because you realize that you can trust God to give you what you need. And so let me ask, what financial area of your life right now is causing you the most stress? Are you most worried about? Is it debt? Is it paying for school? Is it saving for retirement? Is it having enough money to start this new business? Is it just paying the rent, making rent this month, or paying off the bills and the basic needs of life? Listen, God does not want you to be worried about money. Now, let me say, God never promises that you're going to be wealthy or that you're going to be rich, but he doesn't want that area of your life to be a source of stress and worry. He wants you to trust him because just like the business owner in Jesus's parable, God is the ultimate owner and he will give you what you need. So it's not yours. That's the first principle. It's not yours. It's his. We're managers of what God has given us. Now flip your notes to the inside. That leads us to our second foundation of financial fitness that we learned from this parable. It's the principle of allocation. And that is, God has loaned me the money. God has loaned me the money. So all the money belongs to God, but he has loaned me some of it. He's loaned some of that money to you and me for a period of time. But here's what's interesting to note. Jesus says in the parable, each servant gets a different amount of money. Going back to our story, Matthew 25:15. It says, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. Now, like the servants in this parable, God gives us different amounts of treasure of money to steward. We're not all equally wealthy. We aren't loaned the same amount of money from God. But the point is, we've all been blessed with something. God has entrusted us with something. And so the servants, they go out with what's been given to them by the boss, and they begin to make investments. We're going back to our story, Matthew 25:16. It says, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. Now, I want you to underline those 3 words, invest the money. I'm going to come back to that. But he took the money, said, I can't just let it sit here. I've got to do something with it. He invests the money. He started with 5 bags of silver, earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. So they both doubled what they'd been left with. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid the master's money. And so think about this. The first 2 servants, they invest the money wisely. They put their money to work. Now, this is an important principle here. That money is a tool to be used. You put it to work. Now, you may be thinking, well, Carrick, doesn't the Bible say that money is the root of all evil? You know, isn't money, Carrick, the root of all evil? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. In other words, money in and of itself is value neutral. It's morally neutral. Money, if you think about it, is a lot like a brick. I can use a brick to build you a house. I can also use a brick to throw through your window, right? You know, just like that, money can be either constructive or destructive. Money can either be used for good or for evil. It can be used for selfish purposes, but it can also be used for unselfish purposes. It's about what you do with it. So understand, money in and of itself has no moral value. It's neutral morally when it comes to value. Now, so I want you to understand this. There's nothing wrong with having money. There's nothing wrong with having nice things. The problem comes is when those things have you. Instead of you having things, those things have you. Money can be a wonderful servant, but it's a horrible master. And you know money has become your master when it's causing stress, when it's controlling you, when it's causing you anxiety, when it's robbing you of peace and joy. Is that you? I mean, are you living in constant stress in your life because right now you're a slave to money? See, your money is supposed to work for you, but for most people, They're working for their money. Their money is leading them around in their life. And Jesus says that's the wrong model. In the parable, the first two servants go out and they put their money to work. But the third guy goes out and he just hides it in the ground. Now, here's the point. Some people are given one bag. Some people are given five bags. Some people may even be given 10 bags. You don't always get to choose how much you have, but here's the truth. You always get to choose what you do with what you have. Now, think about that for just a moment. How are you investing the money that God has loaned to you? How are you using and utilizing that money that God has loaned to you? Are you investing in others? Are you helping the less fortunate? Are you investing in your family's future? Are you investing in eternal things like God's church? And by the way, you know, you think about giving to the church. When you invest in God's church, you invest in eternal things. You know, I mentioned earlier that so far this year, we've seen 350 people make first-time decisions to follow Jesus Christ here at The Journey. We've seen almost 100 people who've already been baptized. Every week at our church, lives are being changed for Jesus Christ. And whenever you invest in God's church, in the local church that you're a part of, that impacts eternity. And God blesses that. And by the way, if that's new to you, if you've never invested in God's work, you've never invested in His church in that way, let me encourage you to try that, to do that. You know, today, if you've never done that, and by the way, this is freeing. This is one of the ways that you free yourself from materialism. Just take the offering envelope in your program and make a gift. Make a meaningful gift that impacts eternity. And by the way, the amount, when you're beginning with this, it isn't nearly as important as beginning that habit of honoring God with your finances and say, God, I'm going to honor, you've entrusted this to me, and I'm going to use it in a godly way. It will add significance to your life. And so God has loaned you money, and what you do with it matters. Because our next foundation for financial fitness is this. It's the principle of accountability. And that says, one day, God will audit me. Don't you love that word audit? It gives me chills down my spine just to think about it. But it says, one day, God will audit me. It says, God, think about it. We say God owns it all. He loans us some of it, and then He lets us choose what we do with it. And then, like a good owner, God is watching to see what we do with it. Because you can waste it, right? There are plenty of ways you can waste the treasure that God has given you. You could just spend it all, or you could hoard it all and just keep it, or you can use it. You can invest it. God lets you choose what you do with the treasure you've been entrusted with, but Jesus says that one day, you will stand before God and you will give an account of what you did with the money, with the resources, with the time, with the talent, with the energy, with all those blessings that God has given you. You'll give an account for what you did with them. Matthew 25, verse 19, in your notes. It says, after a long time, going back to our story, their master returned from his trip. So he's been gone for a while. He's coming back to see what's happened. And he called them to give an account. Underline that word, account. He's about to audit them. What did you do? So give an account of how they had used his money. Now, look, God has made an investment in you. He's given you gifts and abilities. He's given you opportunities. He's given you certain resources, certain freedoms by being born in this country. He's given you a certain amount of intellect and energy. And one day, he's going to call you in front of him, and he's going to say, what did you do with all that I gave you? The way that I blessed your life, what did you do with that? All that stuff. And that's what happens in our parable. It says the first guy took his five bags of silver. He turned it into 10. The second guy took his two bags and turned it into four bags. They both doubled their investment. And their boss was happy. Look across the page in your notes. Matthew 25, picking up the story in verse 23. He says, he's talking to those who had done a good job, the ones who had doubled their investment. He says, you've been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. He says, you've done a good job. You were faithful with this amount, so I'm going to give you even more. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, Master, I knew you were a harsh man. Now hold your finger here right now. You know what he's doing? He's already trying to cast the blame. He's already trying to think of a defense. He's like, I think I'm going to be in trouble, so I've got to cast the blame. This was your fault to start with because I know what kind of person you are. He says, you're a harsh man. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here's your money back. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Now, let's think about this for just a moment because Jesus tells this story. This story is in the Bible for a reason. The first two servants, they invested wisely. They received praise. But this third servant wastes what he was given. He does nothing with it. Then he blames someone else for his own mismanagement. He says, look, I'm the victim here. And if we're honest, we do that sometimes too, don't we? We make poor financial choices. We put things on a credit card that we know we're never going to be able to pay for. Or we move into an apartment that we know is going to stretch us financially more than we can afford. And then we try to pass the blame, right? We blame the system. We blame the government. We blame our parents. We blame our boss. Sometimes we even blame God. Listen, how we use our finances is our responsibility. The Bible says one day God is going to audit our lives and he's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? Did you invest it? Did you make a difference with it? Or did you bury it? Did you use it for good? Or did you only use it for selfish gain? Did you help others or just yourself? And whatever our response to that question, God is going to say to us, either you've been faithful, well done, my good and faithful servant, good job, or he's going to say, you wicked and lazy servant. This is the principle of accountability. How you invest your money matters to God. How you give, how you do that. And by the way, that's one of the reasons why we ask when you give at Journey that you use an offering envelope. Now, if you've automated your giving, if you give online, if you give by text giving, as so many of you do, you know that when you give that way, you automatically get a quarterly giving statement. We send out quarterly giving statements, not because I know how much you give, but because we want you to keep track. We want you to be able to hold yourself accountable. That's why on Sunday, I would ask, rather than just dropping money in the offering bucket when it passes by, use your offering envelope. One, when you get the giving statement, you can use it for tax purposes and your taxes go down. I think that's a good thing. But also, you get that and you can keep track. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. You know, I'm auditing myself before I'm audited by God. And so that helps you do that as well. What we do with God's money matters. And that's why if we want to lay a healthy financial foundation, we have to understand this next principle as well. It's the fourth one, the principle of utilization. Principle of utilization, and it says, I must use God's money wisely. I must use God's money wisely. You see, God expects me to use what I've got, not to hoard it, not to sit on it, not to hide it, not to bury it like the one servant did. But money is a tool, and it's meant to be used, not just stockpiled. You know, that's not what the third servant did with his money, though. He didn't use it to do anything useful. Going back to our story, Matthew 25, picking up again in verse 25. And the servant says, well, I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. But the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. Why didn't you just deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it. In other words, he didn't do anything useful with the money that had been entrusted to him. And here his boss says, look, you're wicked. Now, that word wicked, that's not a word we use very often, right? It's not a word we use very much when it comes to money management either. But what Jesus is saying here is, look, this is a serious sin. This is a big deal. God says, Carrick, it's wicked anytime you misuse resources that I gave you. This is a test. He says, your life is a test. I've given you things, and how you use it really matters. And if you do nothing with what I've blessed you with, that's inexcusable. By the way, this is true of everything in your life. It's wicked anytime you misuse those resources. If you do nothing with your talent, God's given you gifts and you just sit on them, you never use them. You do nothing with your money. You do nothing with your time. You're just wasting it. You know, the greatest use of your life is to invest it in something that will outlast it. The best use of your life is to invest it in eternal things. And God put you on this earth to use your time, your energy, your money, your intelligence, to use all those things for good and for God. In fact, I really believe that God would rather have you try and strive to invest your life in something really significant and fail than to play it safe and do nothing and succeed. You know, some of you are here and you've lost your joy. And right now you're just going through life. You're going through the motions. There's no energy, no enthusiasm in your life. You're just putting in the hours every week, just waiting for the weekend. And you're missing the life that God intended for you to have. You see, God meant for you to do more than just punch a time clock and go through life little by little. God gives us what we have. But listen, it matters how we use it. Now, it doesn't matter as much how much we have, but it matters greatly how we use it. And when we act like this third servant and we do nothing with what he's given us, I want you to look at what happens. And just to be honest, this is a really hard teaching that Jesus gives. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 28, Jesus says this, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." See, Jesus says the choice is ours. Will we choose to be wise with what God has given us, or will we misuse it? Will we lose it? Listen, I pray that we will all choose wisely. In fact, before you flip over to the back, I want you to look at your connection card one more time. That's what this series is about. That's what these principles that we're talking about are about. That second next step, I want to ask you at the beginning of this series to make this commitment. Number two, it says, commit my life to God and live by his financial principles. To say, God, I want to be wise. I want to make eternal investments. I don't want to waste what you've given me. And we're going to explore this, but I want you to make a commitment as we begin this series. Check that second next step. Say, I want to commit my life to you, God, and I want to live by your principles. So do that. And after you do that, I want you to flip your notes over to the back, because that leads us to our final foundation for financial health. And this is the principle of compensation. Compensation. And that says, God will reward me for good management. God will reward me for good management. Now, this is cool because the Bible says that when you get to heaven, get this, your role, your rewards, and your responsibilities are going to be determined by how you use what you've been given here. Now, think about that. I want to repeat that. Jesus says when you get to heaven, your role, your rewards, and your responsibilities are going to be determined not by how much you had while you were here, but by what you did with what you had when you were here. Jesus says that this life is a test. Jesus says the money that you've been given is a test to see how much you trust God. And that's why we're doing this series, not just to get you out of debt, not just to help you save, not just so you can enjoy more of what he's blessed you with, but I want you to learn to trust God more in this area and in every area of your life. Look at what Jesus says in Luke chapter 16. He says, "And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven?" Then he says this. He says, "No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other." Now read this last part out loud with me, beginning with "you." Are you ready? Go. "You cannot serve both God and money." Underline that phrase. You cannot serve both God and money. Notice Jesus doesn't say you shouldn't serve both God and money. He says you can't. It's impossible. No one can serve two masters. So he says, you're going to have to decide what's going to be number one in your life. And he says, if money's going to be number one in your life, your heart, your will is going to follow. It's going to determine your life. It will become your God. He says, money can't be number one. You have to trust me or that is going to take over. You can only have one number one in your life. And whatever is number one, that's what you're saying your God is. That's what you love the most. And Jesus says, listen, you cannot serve both God and money. You know, at the end of life, every one of us will have to stand before God, and we're going to have to be accountable for the life that we lived. And I believe that when we stand before God, there are two big questions that we're going to answer. The first question I believe that God is going to ask us is, hey, Carrick, what did you do with Jesus? What did you do with Jesus? That's the question of salvation. That's the question of your eternal destination. What did you do with Jesus? Did you receive him into your life? Did you make him your Lord and Savior? Because that's going to determine whether or not I get into heaven. What did you do with Jesus? And in a moment, I'm going to say a prayer. And if you haven't made that decision to follow Jesus, you're going to have an opportunity to make that decision and to follow him, to surrender your life to him, to make sure that you've taken care of your eternity. But I believe the second question that God is going to ask you is this. I mentioned it earlier. Carrick, what did you do with what I gave you? See, the question of what did you do with Jesus determines your eternal destination. But the question of what did you do with what I gave you determines your eternal rewards. And we're going to have to answer the question, were we good stewards of our money? Were we good stewards of our talent and of our time? Or were we slaves to money? You know, one of my biggest fears is to get to heaven one day and for God to say, hey, listen, Carrick, I'm really disappointed in you because your life was blessed. You had a lot of privilege of where you were born and when you were born, the family you were born in. You were blessed. You could have done so much more with what I gave you. I don't want to hear God say that. I would rather have God say these next words. It's our memory verse for this week. And instead, I want to hear these words. I hope you want to hear these words as well. Matthew 25, verse 21. Let's read them out loud together, beginning with the master was full of praise. Are you ready? Go. The master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. What did you do with Jesus? What did you do with what God gave you? If you had to answer to God those two questions today, what would you say? Let's bow our heads and pray together. Would you bow your head with me right now? Close your eyes. Let this be a time between you and God. And as your head's bowed and eyes are closed, this series is a great opportunity for many of us. It's like this annual checkup with your doctor. And this can help you. This can help you get back on track. Like if you go to your doctor, you can get back on track physically. I believe this series can help you get back on track spiritually and financially. And this is a great opportunity right now, not just to get your wallet back on track, but to get your heart right with God. Because remember, this isn't just a money thing. This is a heart thing. And so would you pray this prayer in your heart as I pray it out loud? Just pray it in your heart. Say, dear God, I realize that everything I have belongs to you. It's not mine. It's yours. You just loaned it to me. God, I realize that one day you're going to audit my life and you're going to ask me to give an account of what I did with what was given. And so, God, today I want to practice these principles. I want to use your money wisely. I don't want to be stressed out and worry about finances. I want to be financially fit. I want to learn these principles. With your head still bowed, listen, as we pray, unmanaged finances are simply a symptom of an unmanaged life. And what you need is a life manager, and his name is Jesus Christ. And that's what it means to make Jesus the Lord of your life. It means you put your life under new management. Jesus, become the manager of my life. Say that in your heart and your mind. Say, Jesus, you become the manager of my life. I want you to be the manager of my life from this day forward. I want to follow your will. I believe that you died on the cross for me. Forgive me of my sins. I want to follow you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.